Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madarin Channel, welcome back to another episode of In the Footsteps of the Prophet صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Subhanallah. If we are to have the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam, the greatest of all mankind sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest of role models sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. If we have the love and the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what else would we ever be in need of? Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers, there are many blessings and virtues in sending salawats upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself tells us, من صلى علي صلاة واحدة صلى الله عليه عشرة. Now he who sends salat upon me once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows 10 blessings upon that person. We should make it a regular habit of ours to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madinah Channel, mashallah azza wa jal, within this series we have been listening to a little about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, this is based on the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. Previously we spoke and mentioned the story of Sayyidah Halima al-Sa'diyya radiallahu anha. Yes, her name is Halima. Remember the name Halima. Halima, the foster mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had taken Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the oasis, to the desert, to wean and to take care of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. So his foster mother's name was Halima, foster father's name was Harith. His own biological mother, his real mother, her name was Sayyida Amina. Her name was Amina radhiallahu anha, and the father's name was Sayyidina Abdullah radhiallahu ta'ala anhu. And in this episode, inshallah, we shall be hearing more about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially a very, very famous incident known as Shaqqus Sadr. And before that, my dear viewers, we did hear that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was spending time with his foster family, his parents, his foster brother, his foster sister, Shayma. The brother's name was Abdullah radhiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would respect and love them, and they in turn would love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We mentioned that even Sayyida Halima radhiallahu anha, she was so protective over the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam, that if he was away somewhere, she would become worried. Yes, if his sister took him out, she would say, you know, what are you doing in this heat? But the sister would say that, oh mother, you don't need to worry about the heat, because if there is heat, then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a cloud above his head protecting him from the severe heat. You don't need to worry about him. Allahu Akbar. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent approximately 2 years, initially that is, with his foster parents, with Sayyida Halima al-Sa'diyya radhiallahu ta'ala anha. Once 2 years had passed, the most lovely, the most beloved, the most beautiful 2 years to pass in somebody's life. These were the greatest 2 years of the life of Sayyida Halima radhiallahu anha, no doubt taking care and weaning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. Yes, But suddenly those 2 years were coming to an end. As those 2 years were coming to an end, they were thinking, oh no, the time's coming where this precious child, this beautiful child, this most handsome child, the greatest of all children, the mercy of all of the world, we have to take him back to his mother. That's it, 2 years are up now. Now we have to take this child back to his mother. And this is what she did. She takes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to Makkah al-Mukarramah to once again meet his beloved mother. Imagine the state of the mother after 2 years seeing the child. Allahu Akbar. And she would have been, you know, delighted to be able to see her child come back to herself and to live with her. But is that what happened? Allahu Akbar. See, the Halima radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, the foster mother of this child, she was eager to keep the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with herself. She had experienced all of these blessings having the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam along with her. So she was not ready to give him up. What did she do? Allahu Akbar. She says to the mother, she says, "Oh Amina," radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she says, "Oh Amina, if you are to leave him with us, yes, so that we can take more care of him, and then he will grow to be even stronger. Look how strong he is, especially compared to others. Look at him. If you allow him to spend more time with us, imagine how much more stronger, you know, he would become so much more stronger if you were to allow him to stay with us even more. And also, there is a disease within Makkah al-Mukarram, and we fear that this disease may bring harm to him." And Sayyidah Halima radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she persisted and persisted and persisted until Sayyidah Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, with the love of her child, she had accepted that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, okay, he may go back with you. Inshallah, I will allow him to go back with you. Allahu Akbar. And so Halima the Sa'di, she's excited. Yes, I have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, for longer. I could take it. This is her taking care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Normally, is for many, it's a profession, it's a job. How much would you like to keep the child? No, give the child back and take another child. But no, this wasn't any ordinary child. This was Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. But then what happens when she takes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back along with her to the Banu Sa'd tribe, her own tribe? It's stated, she herself says that it only took 2 or 3 months. That what happened is his brother Abdullah, he comes running to the parents and he begins to say, he says, that, "Oh mother, oh father, hurry, hurry. That Qurayshi brother of mine, 2 men, they came and they took hold of him. They took hold of him and then they took him onto the floor and they cut his body." Yes, and they cut his body. "And now if you're going to go to him, you'll find that he's not living no more." Allahu Akbar. So then what would anybody do when they see the child? And this is what they hear. Imagine hearing somebody kidnapped a child. But imagine hearing, no, they took your child to the ground and then they split open the chest. They were terrified. They were terrified. So they run to where the place was. Where is he? Where is it that they took him? They rush towards there and they find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is standing there. That this boy, young boy by the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's standing there. His face is all pale. And the father says, "Oh my son, what is the matter? What happened?" The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam then tells the story as to what exactly had happened. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that 3 men came to me and they came with a basin of gold which was filled with ice. Take notice of this. The basin was filled with ice. Allahu Akbar. He says they took me from the rest of my companions, from the rest of the people who were with me, the rest of the children, and the rest of the children were terrified and they had run away to tell you guys. Well, one of them, he gently laid me down and he could open my chest up until my groin. And I looked at him But I did not, from the coat, I did not feel any pain. And then what did he do? He removed the contents from my stomach and he washed them thoroughly with ice. He then placed them back in the place, back into my stomach, back into my body. And then the second person then came and said to the first one, step aside. And then he placed his hand into my chest and took out my heart whilst I was watching it. Allahu Akbar. He split it open and from there he removed a black dot which he had then discarded. He moved his hand right and left as if he was taking something, and there appeared a seal in his hand which was made of light and dazzling to the eye. He sealed my heart with this. My heart, he sealed it with this light and he filled it with the light of prophecy and wisdom, and then returned my heart to its place. I felt the coolness of that seal in my heart for as long as time. The third one then said to the second one, "Are you step aside now?" And then he passed his hand over my chest to the bottom and it had healed very, very quickly. He then took hold of me and lifted me and brought me up. And he said to the first person, he said, "Weigh him against 10 people from his ummah." They weighed me and I had outweighed those 10 people. He then said, "Weigh him with 100 people from his nation, from his ummah." With 100 people, weigh him against 100 people from his ummah. And so he weighs me against 100 people. And I outweighed them. And then he says, "Weigh him against 1,000 people from his ummah." They weighed me against 1,000 people and I outweighed them. The scholars say that, what does it mean by they weighed me against 10 people, against 100 people, against 1,000 people? They say that it refers to here in nobility and in virtue. Yes, that in virtue, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had outweighed 10, had outweighed 100, outweighed 1,000. And then the first person says to the other ones, they say, "Leave him. You do not need to weigh him. Otherwise, you could have weighed him against the entire nation of his and he would still have outweighed every one of them." And then they embraced me and they kissed me on my blessed head. They kissed Rasulullah also on his head, on his blessed head, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they kissed him between his eyes, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then they said, "Oh beloved, do not be afraid. Oh beloved, do not be afraid. For if you knew the goodness which has been intended for you," if you knew the goodness which has been intended for you, "then your eyes would be content." Allahu Akbar. This is really something to think about, something to really, really ponder over. That nowadays, whenever there is any sort of operation, you know, especially organs, where is it that organs are retained? Where is it that they are kept? They're kept in ice. Yeah, it must be cold in freezers. Yes, this is how they are maintained and they are kept. This is how they are stored. This is 1500 years ago. And this is our books, our literature telling us hundreds and hundreds of years ago that the heart, when it's taken out and it is placed in what? It is placed in ice. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling his mother, his father, this story, meaning his foster parents. He's telling them this story. And then the parents begin to worry. And the husband says to the mother, to say the Halima radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, "Oh Halima, I'm worried. Something has happened to my son. Let's take him back to his mother before something bad really happens." They thought that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has had a stroke. You know, something is wrong. Yes? So then again, just a few months or so later, they take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to the mother. Now, they had planned on keeping Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for so much longer, but then rushing him and taking him back to the mother. The mother is obviously, she's confused. when they bring Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam back, she says, what's the problem? Why is it that you brought him back so quickly? And they say, because we fear, you know, that there could be some sort of harm. What's the problem? What is the issue? So something could hurt him. We just want to be careful and we wish to just bring him back. She says, no. Tell me the truth. What happened? Tell me, I want to know. What happened to my son? What happened to my child? And she wouldn't stop until they told what happened. And then this is the incident that they had mentioned. When they had told the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahu Akbar, she says that I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no jinn, no shaitan can affect my son. There are some narrations mention that she says, now whilst I had my son in my womb, I felt or experienced no pain whatsoever. And she was telling them her experiences of her pregnancy, of having Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with her, as well as the visions which she had seen about bearing the greatest of all mankind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Now some people may be thinking, why is it that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a child, and this incident of shaqq al-sadr, it has occurred approximately four times according to many scholars. So we'll say more or less, but generally four times it has been stated. And each time the shaqq al-sadr incident occurred, it held a different significance. Each time the incident happened due to a different reason. And this one, the scholars state that the reason this first shaqq al-sadr occurred was to purify Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from states of childhood. That even in his youth, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be granted characteristics of manhood even. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he grew up in the most perfect state of purity, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. Another incident which occurred, as well as the taking out of the heart, is the placing of the seal of prophethood. And this was placed between the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. And it said about the seal that this seal emitted the fragrance of misk. Yes, the fragrance of misk would emit from this blessed seal. And it was of the size of a pigeon egg. You see, that was 2.5 years that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam had spent with Sayyida Halima Sa'diyah radhiyallahu anha. After 2 years, they returned to the mother, but again, they wished to take care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a longer duration. He then returned with them, and only a few more months did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stay with them. And then he returned to his mother. So at the age of approximately 2.5 years from his birth, 2.5 years, he then returned to his mother and he would spend time with his beloved mother. Now, as to his time with his beloved mother, we do not have much information about this. So we generally skip from 2.5 years to the age of 6. Yes. 3.5, nearly 4 years later, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the age of 6, this is when the next incident, a sad and unfortunate incident, occurs in his life. And this is the passing away of his beloved mother. Yes, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was yet in the womb 2 or 3 months. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the womb of his mother, so before he was born, and then at the tender age of 6, only the age of 6, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mother also passes away. Yes, what happened is his mother took him to meet some of his maternal uncles from the Banu Adi ibn Najjar in the beautiful city of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. Along with them, so there was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was his beloved mother, Sayyida Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, and along with them there was also Sayyidatuna Umm Ayman radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara for some time. At that time, it was not known as Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, At that time, as we mentioned, it was known as Yathrib. And then the Prophet ﷺ later in his life, he also tells us that he stayed at that house. And whilst he stayed at that house, that he even learned how to swim. That he became proficient in swimming. And this was in one of the wells of the Banu Adi ibn al-Najjar, which is a tribe in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. The relatives, another in fact important insight we learn from this, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from an early age, well of course, from an early age, meaning his whole life, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam actually had relatives. From his mother's side, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had relatives in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. And please do try to remember this, because inshallah, later we shall hear more about this. Well, much later, but inshallah, try to remember this, that he had relatives in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. Now, whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, a very, very important incident mentioned by Sayyida Umm Ayman radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she states that she heard some Jews saying that this person is the prophet of this nation, and that this place, meaning this city of Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, which was Yathrib at the time, this city shall be the city where he shall migrate to. And she says, I remembered all of these words, and that she told the mother about these words, and the mother, this was one of the reasons why the mother had then rushed back to Makkah al-Mukarrama. And when she had rushed back to Makkah al-Mukarrama, then on the way, there's a place known as Abwa. We say Abwa Sharif. On the way back from Makkah al-Mukarrama, they stopped at Abwa. And at Abwa is where the mother fell ill, Sayyida Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, and then suddenly she had passed away. Now, one thing to keep in mind, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's parents had passed away whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very young. His father had passed away whilst he was yet in the womb of his mother, and his mother passed away when he was at the tender age of 6. Now the question is, were his parents believers? And the answer is yes. Initially, they are muwahidun. They believed in one God. From the beginning, they believed in one God. The message of Islam was not brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time, so it was not a requirement for them to believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yet, they did see the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and say that Amina radhiyallahu anha was, according to many narrations, told about the greatness and the rank of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But nevertheless, it has been mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they came towards this place, and this was possibly the Hajjat al-Wida, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to Abu Ashri, and he was initially, he had tears in his eyes. He was quite sad. And then later, Sayyidah Aisha radhiyallahu anha states that later he came back, he returned, and it was thumma raja'a masruran, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very happy. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy. And then I asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is it? What is it that has made you so happy, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Sa'altu Rabbi fa'ahya li ummi. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the reason I'm so happy is because Sa'altu Rabbi, I asked my Lord, I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning I did dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give my mother life. فَأَحْيَا لِي أُمِّي, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought my mother back to life. فَآمَنَتْ بِي, and then my mother was brought back to life, and she took iman, she testified, and she accepted the faith, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned her to her previous state, meaning took her back to the afterlife. And this is amongst the khasa'is of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. For somebody to pass away and then to bring them back to life to become a Muslim. But many of the scholars state that, remember, they were always believers, but the blessing which she attained by being brought back to life and then testifying, the scholars state similar with the father too, is that they also attained the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, giants such as Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti, Al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala. Remember, the parents, as well as the grandparents and the great-grandparents and the great-great-grandparents, the entire lineage leading back to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the entire lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they were all believers. They believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam has the greatest of all lineages. He is the greatest of people. He is the most virtuous in every way. And one of those is the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers of the channel, today we heard a little more about the life of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. The program is in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. That's all for today. But inshallah, join us for our next episode. And inshallah, in the next episode, we shall be hearing so much more. Please do try to remember everything you've learned. Try to write it down. Yes, by writing it down, that's how we are going to be able to remember all of this, inshallah, and then share it with others. Ask others to join. Get your children, get your siblings, even ask your parents to sit down and watch, and inshallah, to learn about the life of Rasulullah, because it's no ordinary biography. This is a biography of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Join us again for more of In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.